The word of the Lord that comes to me tonight for the people of God is the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. Let's look into a few scriptures before I make any remarks on this Hebrews 13:15. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, let the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of our lips. Hallelujah. Hosea 14:2. Let's read from the first verse. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thy iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the cause of our lips. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to talk with you a little about the praise that we do offer to God. Praise is one of the greatest weapons in our armory. We praise God not because we feel to praise God, but because praise does something in God's word. Hallelujah. We are in a realm, in the natural realm, and spiritual things are not apparent. That is, you don't feel to praise. You're feeling low. You're feeling wretched. Why should you praise when you don't feel to praise? When you have had a good meal, you turn around to the hostess and you say, oh, this is a wonderful meal. I appreciate it. You are a fine cook. Amen. And that hostess feels, well, my effort was well worthwhile. Amen. But that is in the natural, and it brings gratification to the person naturally. But when you praise God, you are not giving God gratification. It's not that you are patting him on the back and say, oh, you're a fine fellow, God. You're wonderful, God. You know you're wonderful. I came up on this thing one day when I said, God, but I just don't understand. I say, I know men with ego, they want you to praise them, they want you to say how fine they are, and they seem to function upon this premise. How come that you, God, want us to praise you in the same way like we praise other men and so on? Is there something I'm missing? God said, sure. Amen. And he began to teach me what happens when one prays. Now, when you praise and you don't feel to praise, it's really a sacrifice. Amen. You are offering God a sacrifice. And 3/4 of the tongue that you speak in here, it's praising God. That's why the devil wants to stop some people from speaking tongues in church. Because 3/4 of the tongues you speak, I hear halaba, halal, hayan, all manner of praise words. which you can just check up your book, Hebrew, you can check up your Greek, you can check in your Strong's or your Young's, and you will see all these words that are being spoken by people who don't speak Greek and Hebrew being spoken freely in the congregation. It must mean that praise is a great part of our worship. Now, what does praise do? And why praise? First of all, the name of God is in you. The name of God. Come, let's change that. Take out the word name. The nature of God is in you. Good. The name of the devil is in the devil's people. Amen. Now, if you go to the devil and tell him God is a good God, it hurts him. Because the devil wants to convince you that God is not a good God. So the more you say, the more you live, the more you act, God is a good God, you hurt the devil the more. Amen. Now, the more you praise God, the more it disturbs Satan. But not just because he's jealous. But because every time you begin to praise, the spirits of God begin to draw near to you. Come, let's check on that with a scripture. Turn with me to Psalm 91, I believe. Is that the one which says, "Encamp it round about them that fear him," or is it Psalm 27? 27. So where is that? What verse? The angel of the Lord. No, it says, "Trees, thy host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear." No, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Where is that? Thine host shall encamp against me. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Now, I am thinking the words that come to me in the spirit is the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. 34:7. Amen. All right. It starts off, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Now you know that David had some hard times. But he said at all times, he will bless the Lord. "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." And he said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." Now verse 7. "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about" who? "Them that fear him and delivereth them." Now this word fear here has more than, it doesn't mean that you're afraid of. It means those that have great reverence for God. So the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them. Why? Because the angel of the Lord sees the nature of God in you. And wherever the nature of God is, the angel of the Lord is bound to obey. Because the angel of the Lord is the servant not only of the Lord, but your servant. You remember that scripture? That the angels are the ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. And the word minister means servant, serving spirit to you. So the angels that are here on earth are here to serve you. And upon what basis will they serve you? They will serve you when they see the nature of God in you. An angel won't just obey you for anything, but he will obey you because the nature of God is in you. Now, if you ask God for healing, and you didn't see the healing, but you believe God, that God is going to honor His word, because God said, whatever you ask for, He's going to do it, and you ask Him for healing, and you begin to praise Him for the healing, what does that show to God and to the angel? That you are of a certain quality person. Immediately, the light of God begins to flash from you. As I say, brethren, angels and spirits see you in light and in darkness. Anybody has a doubt about that? Or you want me to get the scripture for it? Amen. The angels of God see you in light or in darkness. And I'll go to that a little later. I'll show you the scriptures for it. But it's very simple. Now, if these angels see you in light, it means that sometimes your light is brighter than at other times. Amen. It means that when your light is bright, that's the time you will get those angels to do what you command in the spirit. A while ago, when Mavis was leading the song service, It blessed me to hear her bring this thought that was coming from God. That you should all, when you begin to praise God, you should at that time ask God for what you wanted. Anytime you feel the praise and the glory rise to height, you ask for everything you want. You get it at that time quicker. Of course, isn't that the way we do with our, in our natural? You don't see, you want something from your dad and you see him really cast down and feeling wretched, and that's the time you go ask him. Or you wait until he feels good and you do a lot of little things to make him feel good, and then you hit the nail while it is red. Well, this is what God has been saying to us tonight. He said, you praise God, not because you feel good, but because you know when you begin to praise God, a whole heavenly host joins with you. And once you attract so much power of God into one little building, something is going to happen. Amen. I have seen people begin to praise God in the flesh. Let me tell you, they go to town under that. But they begin to praise God in the flesh, and presently the Holy Ghost came down and you could feel the pressure when He descended. Blessed be to God, at that time the preacher, of course, these men, they know what they're doing. Some of these healers. And he called out immediately, everybody cry out to God, somebody's healing being healed right now. In the midst of the pressure, when the Holy Ghost came down, you could feel Him. And bam, 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 people were healed all over the place. Amen. So, you, hallelujah, as we move in a meeting, when you feel the power of God, touch Him right away. Don't wait and say, well, after the meeting is over, I'm going to ask for what I'm asking for. When two or three are gathered together, the power is increased. Hallelujah. The power is magnified. And when the power is magnified, the glory is magnified. Hallelujah. And so, Jesus said, Father, I'm quoting from John 17, verse 5, Father, give them the glory. No, verse 5 says, give me the glory which I had with you from the beginning. And then in verse 22, he said, I give them the glory. You say, but God, if Jesus gave me all that glory that he had with the Father from the beginning of time, how come I don't get it? How come it's right there in the Spirit and you got to draw it out? The scripture Mavis quote was in Joshua chapter 1 and somewhere around verse 3, he said, every inch of ground that the sole of your feet walk upon, that is yours. Do you ever realize that the children of Israel went into the promised land? And from the time they went into the promised land, they had to fight for everything they wanted and work for it. They had to plant their own crops. They had to reap their own crops. No more manna, free food coming down from heaven. God pulled away from them in one area, but gave them the power to overcome in the other area. So this is you. The higher you climb in God, the more it is required of you to reach up and take down the glory of God that you need. So, one of the means by which we reach up to God is by praise. Now, he said, encamp round about us. There are many angels. In this building, that means, if there are 50, 60 people here, then there are many more angels in this building than people. Amen. What are they here for? They are here mainly because we call them here. You say, but I didn't call any angels. You sure did, by the very act of praise, by the act of your need, amen, by the act of your spirit, your intention, your desire before God, the building is filled with the emissaries of God. Amen. Now, let's turn to Ephesians for this fact to be cemented. Let's turn, pardon me, to Ephesians, chapter 1. And we see in the end time something that is going to happen that did not happen before. Something that God is doing new tonight for his end time people. Verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he, God, might gather together in one all the things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now this here brings to us another group beside angels. Not only just angels now, but our brothers who are in Christ are also here. Is that what it says? Is that what it says? Now, a verse to cement the thought that the angels are here before we go on to our brothers, our heavenly host brothers. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. We look at verse 13, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand, and I will make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister, to be, you know, this is one of the words. Remember last night I spoke to you about some words that lost their meaning and changed their meaning. Now this word minister is one word that has changed its meaning from being servant to mean, the head of a church, a guy at the top. This meant the fellow at the bottom. Amen. When this Bible was written, the word minister in Latin means servant. Servus means slave. Minister means servant. So when they used the word here, minister, they meant the servant spirits. The spirits that are the servants that guard you at night while you sleep, that guide you, guard you in your car, or else the devil would cut you to pieces, that stand around you, that live wherever you live, and go along with you like bodyguards. And this is what he's saying. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister, to work for them which should be heirs of salvation? Hallelujah. Amen. So, whatever you do, you must be careful. You must be very careful of the things you do. Why? Because your ministering spirits can turn around on you. Yes. Your ministering spirits can turn around to be your enemy. Turn your Bible with me. You see, as I talk to you, I get it. So you just have to stand with me. Turn around with me to Numbers. Now, I'm not sure whether this is Numbers 12. Numbers 12. Let's see if this is the right scripture that I'm looking for. This is not the Numbers 12 I'm looking for. I tell you, the scripture that the Lord brings to me right now is, be thou ware of him. I'll send an angel before thy face. Yes, but be thou aware of him. Yes, it's right here before me. It's Exodus 33. Exodus 33. It says here in verse 2, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And we run on a little, and the Lord, verse 14, says, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. This angel was the presence of God. I don't know, but this is not exactly what I was looking for. Let me check again. Deuteronomy 8. You don't mind chasing all over the Bible with me, do you? Yes, what verse you say? 15? No, 15, the verse that I am speaking of, I see it right before me, and he said, be thou aware of him, lest he destroy you. Exactly. You see, the Spirit of God speaking, there were seven ites in the land, and these seven ites represent seven areas of your spiritual being, your soul, that is to be conquered by the Spirit of God. The Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites and so on, seven eyes. And God spoke to Moses and told him that he would send an angel before him, but he would have to beware of this angel, because the angel would turn to be his enemy if they did not obey the Lord, because the Spirit of God was in him. I don't think we'll spend much time, more time looking for this, but this is a word that the Lord brought to me anyhow, and then you can find it some other time. But then, as I'm saying, that you praise the Lord because the angels are praising the Lord, and when you praise the Lord, it increases the power of your life. In other words, to increase power, you praise the Lord. And as you praise the Lord, the angels of God join you to praise the Lord. Now, there's another group that joins you to praise the Lord. And this group, you find it in Hebrews chapter 11. You see, if the Lord would tell me before, I'd look it up. Agree with me? Praise the Lord. He doesn't want me to look it up. He wants to have you helping me chase over the word. So, in Hebrews 11, and in verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, chapter 12, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, why should we be patient? Why should we win this race? Why is it so important for us to run the race with patience? Why is it so important for us to win the race? For you? No. See, for the brothers and sisters who are gone on before, who are watching you in order to win. Now, what am I talking about? I am saying that these fellows cannot win without you. Every human being alive has the power to overcome certain things in his life. And every human being that is dead has somebody that is alive who is overcoming the very thing which overcame him. Because there is no absolute overcomer in the heavenly, except Jesus. Is there anybody who doesn't really understand what I say? Let's see if we can make you understand it. Is that right? Somebody doesn't quite understand? The brothers and sisters who died from Adam right down to Jesus Christ, they died without the blood, they died on the sin. Therefore, when Jesus died, he died, he took your sins, not only to forgive you of your sins, which was necessary, but he took your sins in order to get into hell. And he got into hell, preached to the spirits in prison, led captivity captive, took them out of hell, but they weren't perfect. Only perfection in the spirit they have, which you have tonight. Every soul that is filled with the Holy Ghost has the perfection of God in your spirit. And you are perfect in your spirit. In that one area of your being, you are as perfect as God is perfect. Now, the next move is that you are struggling now to perfect your soul. Isn't that right? So what are they doing? Are they going to get soul perfection free? Are they going to get a present from God of soul perfection? If that was the case, then, brother, it would be good for you to go and pray and say, God, take my life so that I might get perfect. In other words, death would be a shortcut to perfection. But it is not. It is not. You have got to work for it. And perfection can only come by the free will choice which you have. Amen? So these brothers are there in heaven praising God with you. And they are praising God with you because the more you praise God, the more energy from heaven you pull down. Glory to God. And the more you pull down, the more they receive from you. Amen. Is there a strange doctrine there? Come to your Bible, brothers. I show you it in your Bible. So then, let's turn again, eh? This time, we go to Ephesians. And this is chapter 3 this time. Ephesians chapter 3. And we say from verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Now we're not talking about hell. We're not talking about devils. We are not talking about principalities and powers down here. We are talking about princes and their qualities. You know what I'm saying? A prince is a person who is to be king. Next. And very often princes rule over little areas or big areas, and those areas are called the polities. So when you talk about a principality, you mean both his prince and his polities. Now, God is saying that in the heavenlies there are principalities. That there are some brothers ruling over certain polities. And that unto the intent that unto the principalities in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. In other words, brother, God has a plan, and we are working the plan out. Not angels, not those who die and go, but we, the living saints, are working God's plan out in the actual, in the natural, on the battlefield, in flesh and blood reality. And the angels are watching us. This is their TV. This is their television. They are watching us, seeing all that is happening, understanding all. And imagine, an angel, when he sees you in light. So he knows what kind of light you are, regardless of what you are saying or what you're doing. He knows what kind of light you are. Glory to God in the heart. The more energy you pull from heaven, the more life, the more light, the more power, the more angels come around. Because they want the glory. They want the power. They want the deliverance. Now, how do they get their deliverance? They get their deliverance from you when you overcome. Can you imagine? The Bible says that there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repented. Can you imagine the dancing and shouting and jumping of angels when they see you give it to the devil? and take away a sin out of his hand, or get some great victory. Hallelujah. Whew. Glory to God in the highest. You can imagine then why it is necessary for you to run the race with patience. Now, praise, therefore, does something to your soul. Praise is positive. Fear, doubt, being beaten, being cast down, despair is negative of the devil. Believe you me. All this is of the devil. The more you believe in what is up there that you cannot see, the more you praise God for what you don't know about. But you believe that your Father is working to the best of your interest. Therefore, you just praise God. Things are well. They have the news around your neck. Things are well. Hallelujah. We're having victory over here. Bless God because you believe in your Father. You believe that He's got it all fixed. You wouldn't believe defeat if you saw it. Amen. When you start looking around and you find yourself flat on your face, you don't believe it. Because your daddy's got the victory. And the victory's yours. He says, I have overcome the world. Amen. You don't want anything more than that. But that Jesus overcame the world, so you have also overcome the world, because you are the body of Christ. And if a man's head overcomes the world, what about his body? Anything happens to your head, that's the body. Done. And so you only have to go forward and rejoice in the glory that God has given. Amen. You don't have to see it with your natural carnal eyes. You don't have to feel it in your physical body. You just have to praise God for it. And it is yours. So, praise, therefore, is this weapon that joins us with the heavenly forces. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise joins us with the heavenly host. Praise brings us together. God said, we are two are gathered together. He said, I am these in the midst. Why? Because wherever you gather together and you begin to talk about Jesus, Jesus has got to come to help you. He can't leave you alone. By faith to heaven. When you see things bad, things wrong in the natural, begin to praise God. If you don't have the strength, you get a tape recorder. Amen. I know some sisters that wear out their tape recorders. Amen. Praising God. Not you alone, sister. I know another one. She wears them out. Amen. You just study the tape recorder. Study it, understand it, that it must get a little rest, it must cool, it's a small motor, and you let it loose, you'll get all the praise you want out of it without killing it. Amen. Praise be to God. And so the heavenly host joins us in praise, because the heavenly host cannot resist praise. That is part of the energy and the light and the life and the power of God being pulled down to earth. Amen. Once there was a battle to fight. God said to the Israelites, He said, they said, Lord, who shall we send up first? Generally, you'd say, send Judah up first, or send Ephraim up first. This time, He said, you get some singers with harps and tambourines and let them dance and praise God. And so they went out, the enemies expecting to see men coming out with swords to fight them. Who come out? People dancing and praising God. Bless His holy name. They couldn't understand it. And they danced and praised God till the power of God came down and hit the enemy. put him to flight, destroy him. What you think came down? Come on now. If you could see, you would see what Elijah saw. Amen. You would see what Elijah's servant saw when his eyes were opened. The hill was filled. The hill was filled. Round about. When that servant said to Elijah, he said, oh, what are we going to do? The whole city is surrounded. The whole city is surrounded. We're in trouble. What are we going to do? I said, God, could you please open this man's eyes that he might see what I see? When his eyes were opened, he saw the hill lined with chariots of fire. Chariots of fire. Do you think you have those chariots of fire? I think you just have a little more. Every one of you. Every one of you is a powerful army in itself. Amen. And if you can only realize this, that you're not alone, that nothing can harm you, nothing can touch you. I know some Christians who pack a gun. Yes, they keep guns and they really feel, boy, I got to have this here to defend myself. A gun is no defense to you. Amen. You better get down to God and realize that those angels of God, hallelujah, can't work with your gun. Amen. They can only work upon the faith which is whipped up and encouraged and strengthened by the praises of God. Hallelujah. I want you to turn your Bibles with me and then show you something. In Ezekiel chapter 28, in Ezekiel 28, we see here the story about Lucifer. And we see certain phrases which give us into the insight of the performance of heaven. Praise God. In verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom, and by reason of thy brightness I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mount of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. To explain what the anointed cherub that covereth means, let me give you a simple example of what Lucifer was. There is God in the highest heaven, and next to God, God in the highest heaven, glory shining down. Next to God here in this heaven of light, in number two heaven of light, there are big, powerful angels that cover the rest of heaven with their glory. And they send off the light of God. Of these angels, we had Michael and Gabriel, two that we know. Gabriel said there were many others. That's what Gabriel said. So we know that God had many other bright angels like Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. then when Lucifer was the musician of heaven, and he would cover heaven with the power of praise, when he started praising, the whole heaven had to praise. And this is why the Bible said he was the covering cherub, the cherub that covered heaven with the praises of God. And he thought that with all that power, he would be able to cover them with his own thoughts and overcome them. But God allowed him to walk up and down amid the stones of fire, because he himself was a stone of fire. You understand what the word stone of fire means now? A bright shining one. See, up here, all the angels up here were described as stones of fire. And let's explain to you why stone. The stone meant the only way that God could explain what they were to us is by giving you a diamond, or, you know, a highly a refractory stone, a stone that throws off light, and then you would understand what a stone of fire was. He said God made his ministers I don't want to say stones of fire. I just read it a while ago. That it is a flame of fire. And these angels emanated light and glory. You are getting to be a person that emanates light. You know why? Jesus Christ is the great light. And when he left you here, he said, ye are what? The light of the world. Can you understand? Now, if you become a light, and the Bible says, the part of the just is what? As a shining light, that what? Shines more and more unto the perfect day. So you are a light that increases. Well, so was this, these angels up there. They were the light that overshadowed the whole of heaven with their light and their glory. And as they overshadowed heaven, heaven would begin to praise, or would begin to bring forth what was in them. If you look at Isaiah 14, it shows a little more light on the subject. Verse 12 says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O day star? You see, that's a word, again, showing that he was one of the bright ones in heaven. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? And probably some of your translations have day star, because that's what Lucifer means, light bear, a light one, a person of light. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Don't you see what I'm talking? He overshadowed these stars of God, and he wanted to rule over them. And he said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. More than that, he said, I will take you, the people of God. That's what he was talking about. In the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. He wanted to come up here. He wanted to go up above the separation, the clouds, our division between him and God. And I'll ascend above the clouds, I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. I'm saying all this to say this, brethren, that if in heaven, heaven was brought together as one unit in praise, it was in praise that heaven was brought together as one unit. As the angels begin to praise God, they came together under one glorious union with God. And this is what brings us together, the praise, the hallelujah, the halal, the halal. And the different forms of praise as they come forth from our souls, this is what brings the angels of God to be one with us and the saints of God to be one with us and bring us to be one with each other when the glory and the life and the energy and the brightness of God begin to show forth in us and through us. One scripture says praise is comely. Praise is comely. Now, another scripture said, he whoso offereth praise in the Psalms glorifieth God. Now, what does that mean? Whoso offereth praise glorifieth God. How can you glorify God? Isn't God full of all glory? How can you glorify God? You glorify God by showing forth God's glory. Amen. In other words, you bring down that glory and that light and that power into a vessel that expresses it and other people can see. And this is the glory of God. The last scripture. God says, ye are my glory. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? That God glories in us. Look, brethren, do you think God has a bank account? Eh? You think God loves gold? You think silver means anything to him? Suppose you offered him some good land. Suppose you give him a few more suns and moons. Would that mean anything to him? No, you are his glory. God's glory in you. God loves you. God appreciates you. And God is always trying to get your faults out of you. When you praise God, you attract life, energy, light in your being. The more light that comes in, the more darkness that goes out. Right in the midst of the praise, you lose some of the devils that have been bothering you for years. That is the best way to cast devils out. Just start praising God. The devil doesn't like it. He flees from you when you praise God. Now, you ask me one question. How must I praise God if things are going bad? The devil comes and smites me and he gives me a hard time and I'm praising God for the smiting. How could I do that? You do it because you know God. Not because you believe in the devil. Because if God allows the devil to smite you, then something is behind it. Something is coming up. Amen. I don't know what it is, but God allowed the devil to give me a hard time, so I must have a victory around the corner. God bless you in Jesus' name. Any questions? You can discuss anything you have on your heart. If anybody has a word to bless us with, please don't deny us. Amen. Yeah, the time to praise God is when you don't feel like praising God. Because when you don't feel like praising God, it means that the devil has you down. And when you start to praise him, the devil will get disgusted and leave you. and the angels of God will come and minister to you.
Amen.
The angels in heaven see us in the spirit. But the people that died before are in heaven.
Yes.
So can they see us as we are now? You say they learn from us to become overcomers and so forth.
Yeah.
Do they learn how? By actually seeing us, visualizing what seeing them.
They are not only seeing us, but they are with us. They are right here with us, sharing our feelings, our fight, our battle, our victory. And they participate in the victory, thus they gain the experience that you get. Well, a spirit is spirit. A spirit is spirit, it can't be physical. But what I mean is that, let's say, take something that is pretty bad, like say an alcoholic, and God sees that you are going to win. God would call every alcoholic person who never did overcome alcoholism but died and asked God for salvation and deliverance. God delivered him. Now he wants to be an overcomer of alcoholism. The spirits of alcoholism that had beaten him all his life, he's got to get an overcomer over them. Now he's got to learn from you. God called them and said, come here, this is the fellow that is having a victory. And when you gain the victory, they really see how you gain the victory. They see how you overcome. This is the reason the Bible said that the heavenly hosts are learning through the church. That's what I read a while ago. I don't know if you missed it, but I read it in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. I think that the God is the principalities and powers in heavenly places are learning through the church the manifold wisdom of God. You see? So they don't know how we are going to win, because we don't look like winners. Let's face it. And if the angels in heaven, some of them couldn't win the devil who had gone and played around with him, they couldn't turn around and overcome him, and they know the power that he has. Man, I tell you, they say it's going to be something to see these people beat him. So, the scripture fully well supports what I'm telling you, that the saints are here with us, learning from us, and participating in our victories. It was you first, then.
How do you know you're really praising?
How you know you're really praising God? Well,
not making a deal.
Because as you continue, you will begin to start finding out that you are really praising Him. You see, because the moment you say praise God, you don't feel like praise God. You say praise God, praise God, praise God. Angels come down and start putting ideas in you. You feel better. Start feeling better. Start feeling better. You're pulling out of it. And then you really start. So that's a proof of the pudding is in the eating thereof. Yes, Alice.
In his struggle, Peter, you realize the victory for many.
Oh my goodness. You are God's army on the field. Sure. The ones who are up there and everywhere else, we are fighting for them. And this is why our battle is so important, that we win. This is what we're living for. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, waiting for the adoption of the sons of God. We overcome in the spirit, we overcome in the soul, we overcome in the body. Redeem the body, the last thing to be redeemed. The picture in the vision was all of heaven.
Yeah.
You saw the picture of Abraham.
Yeah.
the whole of heaven.
The patriarch,
yeah.
With his hands like this, in the sea, the more banks of angels.
Hallelujah. A lot of angels. All of heaven was interceding for us.
Relationship there, and it really opens up that vision.
Praise God. That's a vision from Alice. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, you see, I speak this boldly without any fear of contradiction, because I know what I'm saying. It's not a dream. It's not a theory. You know, it's something that I know about. That's why I'm saying it boldly to people who some will understand and some won't, but everybody eventually will. So I might as well tell you now. I may not have the chance again. Praise the Lord. You see, in two places in Revelation, Brother John met two spirits. He thought the first one was Jesus. He was so bright. And he bowed down to worship him. He said, "Don't do it. I am a prophet. One of your brothers, the prophet." He said, "Worship God." He went on again and he met another spirit and he thought it was Jesus again. He went to worship him. He said, "Don't worship me. I am one of the Christians who was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ." He said, "Worship God." See? So, we know the scripture proved to us that these brethren are angels, ministering spirits, carrying messages and thoughts and things to us from God. Only thing, we must not contact them. We must not try to contact them, because we will contact their opposite numbers without knowing. But through Jesus, we are in touch with them. That's the Bible says, to bring together into one all things in heaven and on earth in Christ. Amen. Oh. Is there another question?
What other functions, are there any other benefits from these ministering spirits, the former?
You mean for us or for them?
No, well, either way.
Benefit to us. Well, they do travail with us. And they do help us. I have seen visions of them helping in cases where it seems everything was lost. You were low down and you just thought, and here comes someone and strengthen you. Just like when that spirit came and touched John and strengthened him, and he said he felt a surge of strength come through his body and he stood up on his feet. And there many times you find yourself supernaturally aided, supernaturally strengthened, hallelujah, in a battle. A devil was sent to you to knock you clean off your feet. He was away above you in power. Amen? And that was unfair. But God sent you help from on high. And you get out of it, you don't know how. You say, praise God. You never know. When you get up yonder and you look at those screens, you will find out what was happening. And how often you went by death. How often you went by death. And when the Bible says, encamp around, angels encamp round about them that fear him, it does not necessarily mean, now how am I going to put it? It doesn't necessarily mean that these angels were not men. Because we have angels in the flesh, we have angels that were created of God as angels, and we have angels that were created as men. You follow me? In other words, the word angelos means messenger. messengers of God. So in the Bible, any time a messenger of God came, they said an angel. And sometimes these are men that the Bible referred to as angels. So, praise be to God.
They still have legions, or are in full command of God, or control of the Lord, and really have, what I mean to say is that the battle is still ours.
Yeah, well,
they can only aid and abet as we go forward.
Amen. You see, Christ.
Absolutely no power otherwise.
No power otherwise. They are limited. Both the devil and his host is limited, and the hosts of heaven are limited, and they are limited according to us. There are certain laws they function by. This is why when people step over certain boundaries, sometimes they lose their lives. You see. But these angels cannot just come and walk the devil, for instance. They can't do that. But they can do what you tell them to do in the battle. Amen.
A two-part question. If, for example, we've overcome and had a victory.
Amen.
And those spirits in heaven who have benefited from this, have witnessed and benefited from it and overcome in that area.
Yeah.
What happens if the person here on earth then backslides and loses his whatever it was that he overcome?
Well, they will come back and try to minister to you to strengthen your back, you see. But they have already learned their lesson. You see, because they participate in your battle, in your thoughts, in your feelings. They go through the same things that they used to go through before. And they saw where they made there, and where they failed, and where you overcome. So they learned their lesson again, not because your teacher turned back and backslide while you going to throw away the book. You have learned. Oh yes, they are learning through the processes. And you see, what's happening to the modern man is that there is greater temptation, more power loosed against him, a greater struggle than any other type of man had, more distractions and everything. So these angels are really learning a lot more from us than they did from our predecessors.
The only way we benefit from these then is not by facing them personally, but just believing
by the Lord. Quite. You see, if they see your faith, they can act. Once you believe God, I believe God, and I just going through in the name of the Lord. You walk right through hell, and you never know, because they just they are walking on your faith. See, if you have no faith, they can't do one thing. Because they can only move upon that energy. That's why we say praise. If you don't have the faith, you start praising God. Suddenly you find yourself being lifted up. You get the faith and you start doing that. Thanks, brother.
Two and a half weeks ago, I was praying for a relative. Bind or restrict his evil activity.
Yes.
Because I felt right near me a pillar.
Yes.
And I did it, and it's what came to me. Commanded that he restrict his activities which were not of God. And later on I found that there was an altercation.
Yeah.
Of his attitude.
Sure.
Now was that an angel or an angelic being?
It must have been from God that the suggestion even came to your mind. Yeah, you see, these angels couldn't touch those devils that was pulling him away unless you told them. And if you tell them with that authority, they get him. They restrict the other devils, bind them according to your word and your strength, because the battle is yours.
one can use to ask the Lord to come in the structure, somebody that needs to see salvation in a group here, and we need the Lord to see. I know they can't do it for you, but can you ask Jesus to send a shelter of angels?
Oh, sure, you see, because what you're doing is you're only letting Jesus know that you know now what he does. If you ask him, say, Jesus, help that person, that's what he's going to do anyhow. Just command. You remember the centurion? He said, I know you, I have men under me, I speak to men and they go. He said, you have spirits under you, whatever you say, they do it. So just speak the word, and that's it. Commander spoke the word and it was done. This Betty before you.
I was going to ask if you have another scripture besides Hebrews 1:13-14 about commanding.
Command ye me the works of my hand. I just read it. Command ye me, Isaiah 45. See, there is a slight contention about the scripture that somebody believes it's a question sign should be put there, which would change the whole meaning. Nevertheless, the Spirit have told me to command. So I know it is somewhere truth.
I'm in a position where I have to give that scripture to somebody and I can't find it on my phone.
Oh, yeah. You found it now? 45:11, yes. Thus said the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Praise God. Whatever they mean, the meaning is, I do know that God has told us to command. And I give you a good example. When Joshua led the children of Israel before Ai, and they turned back and were slaughtered by the enemy, Joshua couldn't understand what made God leave them. So Joshua threw himself down on the ground and began to cry before God. Oh God, you promised me that you would be with me. How come you have left me? What's wrong, God? And God was disgusted with Joshua. God said, get up. What are you doing there? Say, you get up and go and do your job. Sanctify Israel and do what you've got to do. So Joshua got up. And he cast lots, and he found the man that was guilty. The Babylonish garment was buried underneath the tent, and that's why they were turning back. He did what should be done, slew Achan, and the armies of Israel went forth victoriously again. You see. So it was a matter that you had the power to do it. Do it. Don't go say, oh God, help me, please, Lord, help me. And you had the power to do it. Do it. In the name of the Lord, you go forth and command the devil to loose his hold. And this brings me to one point here. I want to talk to you sometime about it. The difference between a ministry and a gift. See, the gift of the Spirit is with the Spirit. So everybody who has the Spirit has a gift of the Spirit. Has some gifts of the Spirit. But if you backslide from the Spirit, and if you don't obey exactly the Spirit, you still have that gift. One sister said the other day, and it just amused me. I've got to tell you, she said, God is not an Indian giver. And you know, that's a word I never knew before I came to the United States. So, I said, well, you know, but the idea is that it surprised me to see some men operating the gifts of God, and they weren't living good. they were just living up there. And I thought, oh man, God, to live up there. But then I can see the goodness of God not pulling away the gift, so that the church might have the benefit of the gifts through all the ages, regardless of the unfruitfulness of the vessels. So, but not so with the ministry. Amen. You fool around with that ministry and you just miss it. Everything. You just don't make it. So, if you want to have a ministry that is flowing in the Spirit, you have to keep in touch with the Spirit. It's like a pipe that is hitched onto a reservoir. You can enter the whole reservoir if you want to, by one little pipe. You just turn it up, keep it open, and the whole reservoir will flow through that one pipe. Right? And that's the ministry. That's the ministry. But anytime you stop that pipe up, it's just finished. The flow is finished. You have what you got, and that's it. Nothing more. So, that's another scripture, as you ask. Yes, somebody else. Yes, brother. Oh, it was Brother Talby time.
Well, the way I understand it is first that we do have the right to send out a ministering agent. Because it says here, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister, not to, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That includes me.
Yeah, okay.
And minister for me.
In a sense, brother, yes, you're right. But here how you do it. I come along here, it has happened to me so often. I come along here and I see something wrong. I say, oh God, I just wish this thing were right. And boom, it's set right immediately. I speak the word. I didn't say, oh Jesus, please send forth an angel and do this. I just spoke the word and the thing was done. Sometimes it's only a thought. I just think the thought. I wish it were so. It's done. You see, once you are in line with God, they act. They don't have to wait and say, Jesus, have to tell them to act. But when they see the Jesus in you, they act from the Jesus in you. But the reason we say it like this, and we have to be very careful when we're preaching, is that everything in the Spirit, as I tell you tonight, the things of the Spirit I might break with you, they are real in another world. They are not only real in the Spirit of Christ, but they are real in the Spirit of the other Spirit. And it's very near. It's a very thin line. And if the people of God are told that they can go about commanding angels, then if they are not walking with the Lord right, they could easily slip off and go right into sorcery without knowing it.
Well, that's true, but the verse says, who shall be heirs? It doesn't say just anybody who thinks he's going to be.
No, but you see,
it doesn't say everybody who claims it.
No, but there is something there too. Who is going to decide who is heir? But you can know it too by the obedience that you receive from the Spirit, and you can know it from within you. The Spirit of God testifies with your spirit that we are the sons of God. You see, and so all of us are called as heirs. Yes, and joint heirs. We're called for that. So there is a big problem there, and everybody believes that he is right there. And that's one of the problems. So, and if you see a brother that's bowed down and say, oh, I'm no good, I'm not an heir, you try to encourage him up and lift him up and say, you are an heir. So there are a lot of problems there, but because, and especially in this time, we are walking so near the line that the things of the devil are going to come right up and challenge the church. So that you have to be right there, or your opposite number will have the upper hand. So the Lord said, there will be great signs and wonders, and they will be shown by the Antichrist. He said, even if it were not, if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. So you can imagine how powerful the witness will be. Yes.
Now, about a church about a month ago in Australia, a certain non-national church. This church has quite a few spirit-filled Christians in it. And they got me back to the fair that for some length of time, preached against the fact that and got them convinced that not the altar denied the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's how it's working already now in some places. And some of the churches. Would you say that they have committed the unpardonable sin and they do that?
No, not just off. If they do it in ignorance, I suppose God would still have a way for them, but yet they could. In other words, the unpardonable sin is not something that you just do one time. It's a continued thing that takes you to a certain dimension that you can't come back. You've driven the Holy Ghost away from you.